Aquaculture and You, Creating a Sustainable Resource. A production of the University of Wisconsin Sea Grant Institute. The Fishmongers, Part 3, Whole Foods Market. In the previous episode, we heard from our aquaculture specialists about the importance of feed in producing contaminant-free, sustainably cultured fish for human consumption. In this last of three installments featuring fishmongers, we'll move to a store with an international retail presence, Whole Foods Market. I was impressed with all the fishmongers I spoke with, and Steve Erickson at Whole Foods was no exception. He demonstrated a strong knowledge of fish and all the elements that are critical in bringing sustainable seafood to a retail environment. Founded in Austin, Texas in 1980, Whole Foods Market is the world's leader in natural and organic foods, with more than 310 stores in North America and the United Kingdom. They seek out the finest natural and organic foods available, maintain the strictest quality standards in the industry, and have an unshakable commitment to sustainable agriculture. One final time, full disclosure, I do shop at all of the markets mentioned in the series, and other markets as well. These three markets were chosen as they have all prioritized giving their customers informed choices about seafood.
I'm Steve Erickson. I'm the seafood team leader here at Whole Foods Market in Madison. Welcome. Right here we have our fresh case, and it's filled with a variety of wild sustainably caught fish and aquacultured fish, as well as a variety of crustaceans and other shellfish. Normally, about 75% of our product is wild caught, about 25% is aquacultured. Right now for aquacultured, we have Mediterranean sea bass from Greece, we have rushing waters trout from down in Palmyra, we have the catfish coming out of North Carolina, we have Peruvian tilapia, and we also have Icelandic salmon, as well as a couple varieties of farm-raised shrimp. We come to find that our customers do enjoy wild-caught fish. However, once we start talking to them about our aquaculture standards, we can kind of turn them around, get them turned on to aquacultured product, because there is a lot of bad press for it out there. And there's a lot of people saying that you shouldn't eat it. And sure, there are bad farms, but just like there's bad farms for beef, poultry, and greens, everything has good and bad farms. So we just make sure that we partner with people who are responsible and make sure that they have good water quality, make sure that they're not polluting downstream, make sure that if they are getting a fish-based feed, that it's not the same species. So aquacultured salmon is not fed salmon, it's fed other fish.
What do you do to help consumers be informed?
Through our signage, we label clearly whether a product is farm-raised, whether it's MSC certified as sustainable, whether the Blue Ocean Institute ranks it as green or yellow. As of Earth Day this year, we no longer carry anything from Blue Ocean Institute that is red-ranked or unranked. Everything in the case is sustainable. The yellow ranking can be a little bit confusing to people because they think it might be a species that's in trouble. They take that into account, but they also take into account the fishing method and how that impacts the environment. We were carrying sole that was dredged, and certain fisheries, if you're dredging for a fish, it's okay because it's a sand bottom. But there's other places where there's coral and you're destroying the coral. So you have to balance the catch method with the amount of fish that's out there.
You have lobster tail?
Lobster tail. They're coming out of Canada right now. We get them from a Canadian fishery. They're pot caught, yellow ranked, really good stuff. And we actually partner with a company called Craig's out of Maine. They've developed a whole new method of storing lobsters after they're caught so that they don't get stressed out. They take the lobster and they put it into a tube after they catch it so that the lobsters aren't fighting with each other. Kind of a more humanitarian way of catching and holding these lobsters before they are ultimately sent to us.
In terms of locally sourced seafood, what do you have in terms of aquaculture and wildfish?
Aquacultured, we have the rushing waters rainbow trout that I mentioned before. Really nice stuff coming from about 45 miles away in Palmyra, right down by Whitewater there. Really beautiful farm. I actually took the crew down there for a team build about 2 months ago. got to go down there and see their operation as well as fish for some of the fish. It was pretty cool. If you can't catch a fish down there, you're never going to catch one because these guys have been hand fed for so long that the second you come up to the water, they come swarming over. You just got to throw the line in and you got a fish.
They almost come up and lie down on the beach next to you.
Pretty much, yeah. And then we also have whitefish out of the Great Lakes. I'm not sure which one this is coming from right now, but it's not Michigan. That's all I know. But yeah, we normally carry whitefish, and then we'll get walleye from Red Lake up in Minnesota. Really good stuff. That's pretty much the local fish that we have for the fresh fish. Now for smoked fish, we have herring, whitefish, and lake trout from up in Minnesota. We have the Rushing Waters smoked trout. They also do a smoked trout and smoked salmon spread. They get the salmon from Alaska, have it shipped in, and then they smoke it and mix it down in Palmyra. We do also have a wide variety of wild-caught as well as responsibly farmed smoked fish from all over the world. We have a really nice Norwegian product. I actually got to visit one of the farms. It was really cool. It's right in the middle of a giant fjord, and they had 3 million fish. It absolutely was dwarfed by the size of the fjord, and they still maintained a 99-to-1 water to fish mass ratio in the nets that they had. The Norwegians are very meticulous about what can and can't be done in terms of aquaculture. Any fjord that leads to a salmon spawning area cannot be used for aquaculture. They make sure that there is absolutely no mix between the wild caught and the aquacultured population. And of course, that's probably the only country in the world where they'd consider king crab to be an invasive species. They said they had at times 10 meter deep piles underneath the nets that was the farm, and they'd be down there feeding on anything that the salmon were not eating.
I notice you have some salt cod.
Yeah, the salt cod, it's one of the oldest products from the northern U.S. Portuguese came hundreds of years ago and started to pull cod out of the waters of what is now Canada. And they'd take it and they'd lay it on the shores, they'd salt it, dry it, and then they'd take it back. And it was a staple of the European population for a very long time. And that's one of the reasons why we can no longer carry Atlantic cod, is because it has been overfished for hundreds and hundreds of years. People think of Canada and they think, oh, only a couple hundred years old. However, they've been being overfished since long before then, and it's pretty crazy what has been done. There are some fisheries in the Atlantic now that are coming back and are MSC certified. I mentioned the one in Iceland that's supposed to be a really good product. We haven't seen it here yet. We're hoping to bring it in and see what it looks like. They're supposed to be a really nice, dense, large fish. So we're excited about that one. Hopefully it'll come soon. Here we are in our frozen section, and it's the same standards apply here. We've got everything that's farmed marked as responsibly farmed. We have the wild caught clearly marked as wild. We do have a large variety of shrimp, both from Key West down in Florida. We have a lot of our aquacultured product comes out of Thailand, but we do send a third-party verifier over there twice a year. They go over there, make sure that the water quality is good, make sure, once again, the pollution downstream isn't happening, that the wild-caught and aquaculture populations are not commingling, and that it's clean feed.
So as a national chain, these standards, I would assume, apply across the board. Tell me how that works.
Oh, certainly. Our standards apply across the board, from our stores in London and Scotland to the stores in California. And up in Canada, it's the same standards. We do send a third-party verifier out to every one of our farms to make sure that they're not causing any pollution. And we have in the past cut off farms. You know, they'll maybe not necessarily intentionally do something, but they'll switch up an ingredient in their feed that we don't accept, and we won't do business with them anymore. We used to be able to get a farm-raised steelhead before I came onto the team. They had it here for years, and then they switched one ingredient in the feed. Our third-party verifier went over there and told us, hey, they're using this, and we said, change or we can't do business with you anymore. And they couldn't source that feed anymore without that product, and so we don't sell that anymore. There are a lot of people out there who are starting to advertise more that they're doing business with either the Blue Ocean Institute or with Monterey Bay Aquarium, and there's a few other people out there ranking fish. And that's starting to be pretty much an industry standard now. There's a lot of restaurants that are, you know, showing off the quality of their catch and the sustainability too.
The Blue Ocean Institute, that's similar to the Monterey Sea Watch program?
Yeah, very similar to the Monterey Bay Sea Watch programs. It's just another verifier. There's so many fisheries out there in the world. I think that all the rankings do overlap a bit, but they can't get out to all the fisheries and send scientists out there and do reports on them. They just physically can't get out to do it. So, you know, three verifiers out there right now that are the major ones, and they're doing a good job. It's really helping with fish populations. My favorite for the finfish is definitely the halibut. It's just such a nice, meaty, white flesh fish. It takes any application, you know, searing, grilling, baking, and really just turns out wonderful. I like doing that with like some nice beurre blanc in the winter or just pineapple salsa in the summer. Works out really well. For the shellfish, I really like the bay scallops. They're nice, juicy, tender, as long as you don't overcook them. What I like to do is I'll sear them, then I'll set them aside, and then I'll build my sauce. My favorite dish in the winter is I'll make a goat cheese cream sauce with them. Saute up some onions with some red pepper, and then add in a little bit of white wine, some heavy cream, and some goat cheese, and stir that around, cook that up for a second, and then add in your scallops back in for the last 2 minutes. Serve that over rice, and it turns out really well.
Do you guys have canned tuna?
Sell Ortiz tunas. These guys are out of Spain. Really tasty stuff. We've got them in olive oil. We've got a reserve that's actually an aged tuna. And then we also have tin sardines. These are tin clams and sardines with lemon. We used to carry a baby octopus salad from the same company, but as of Earth Day, we can no longer because they are a red ring species. Catch method and everything, it's not sustainable right now. It's too bad. You know, hopefully in the future they'll find a new way to catch them because it's really a tasty product. It's like a squid, but just a lot more flavorful.
Is there a type of fish that you feel people don't know enough about or don't try enough? What's your top sellers here?
Salmon. Wild-caught sockeye and the farm-raised Icelandic salmon are our biggest sellers. And there's a lot of people out there who will only eat salmon because that's what they've experienced in the Midwest and they haven't really experienced anything else. The tuna is one that I'd like people to try more. People seem very intimidated by it. It is a little bit more expensive, but it's so easy to cook if you just don't overcook it. It's one of those things that you have to cook it about a minute and a half, 2 minutes on each side, leave it nice and rare in the middle, and it's just wonderful, wonderful fish.
You know, I think probably a lot of people feel sorry for tuna these days. Charlie doesn't have any friends left.
Yeah. These guys are caught in the Atlantic. They're long-lined, though, so they're not catching them in nets. They are being picky about what they're bringing in, and we will only purchase from, you know, certain fisheries out in the Atlantic that are still sustainable. The bluefin tuna that's out there, we just can't sell that anymore. I mean, it's amazing, but it's just unconscionable to eat it. We just want to make sure that the fish that we are selling, we can sell far into the future, and that we're getting it from a supplier and from a fishery that is sustainable so that our children in the future can enjoy the same fish for years to come.
Hopefully, after hearing from all our fishmongers, you'll have a sense of the options available to someone who may wish to make more sustainable choices in seafood. I myself have started using sardines instead of canned tuna for my fish sandwiches, and I strongly recommend them. Now for our next podcast, we're going to head to Indiana to learn about the latest developments in recirculating aquaculture, and you'll hear all about it in Closing the Loop, Recirculating Aquaculture Systems. This recording was produced by Chris Bocast for the University of Wisconsin Sea Grant Institute, 2012. Thanks for listening.